This is a production of Cornell University.
Head and start, if that's all right with everybody. Just at the beginning for right now, if you're not muted, if you don't mind going ahead and mute yourself. This is going to be a new experience for all of us. I guarantee you it's not going to run perfectly, but if you can try to use the raise your hand function, or you can type your questions or comments in the chat, and we'll try to do that. We'll try to go in order. Hey is going to back me up as best as we can. If I miss something, if you know somebody has background noise, I've got kids at home, connection lags, we'll just all have to be kind of patient with one another, because this is a very new experience that we're all trying to get through. Thanks everybody for taking the time. I know that we are in a situation where everybody's units are trying to figure out how to do their work from home for the most part. There's probably a lot more teleconferencing and other things going on. So I know that people, as we go forward, will have to just schedule as best they can and do what we can. But I wanted us to have this for two reasons. Number one, obviously, last week we were preempted by the staff forum. And number two, I think that we still have the ability to do a lot of important work this year. And since we are in the midst of a legitimate crisis, the EA and all of you have a strong role to play in getting both what our regular work is and seeing what we can do to show leadership and show stewardship and be assistive to others during this difficult time. So that's especially one thing I want to kind of talk about maybe during open discussion, is what we can do for the Cornell community. So again, I guess I didn't actually say I call this meeting to order, but I call this meeting to order. Hey, I think is just going to take roll call based off of who's logged in, so we don't need to go through the motions of actually calling anybody out, because we have a record. To start things off, I will ask for an approval of the minutes, just to get that on the record, in a second, if somebody can. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting a couple comments. I don't see the raise your hand feature. So if you click at the bottom bar on the participant tab, you should see then it pop up on a sidebar to the right, and then you'll have the option to raise your hand. So do folks see that?
I do not. That's why I did a thumbs up at the reactions. I do not have a raise hand option on this.
Okay. I see some people are saying through the functions that they do, some people don't. Okay, so let's do this. If you don't have if you can't see a raise your hand function, or if I'm just missing you, just type in the chat that you'd like to speak, and I'll recognize you verbally, and then you can unmute yourself and speak. Right now, anybody who wants to type in the chat that they move to approve the minutes and second, feel free to do that, and then we're good. I don't need to recognize or anything like that. We just need it on the record. So I would like to ask for approval of the minutes from last meeting in a second, and you can just type it into the chat that somebody would. Okay, cool. We got it. I'm learning. We're all learning as we go. So please bear with me. We're going to go right into the agenda. I just want to briefly give a synopsis of why we did the staff forum last week, the opportunity, the impetus of it, and the obvious issues that we had with it. And then I'll talk about some things that we will have the opportunity to do in the future, and I'll take your questions. So as you know, this entire situation evolved very quicly. Quicker than I think anybody could have imagined over the space of several days. And there was both from what you all had received from constituents and staff, what administration we're hearing, what I received, we felt that we needed the opportunity to, we had the opportunity during our meeting time to switch that over to a forum where Mary Opperman had agreed to be a part of it and answer questions in an open forum, which is to her credit. It's a very difficult thing to just put yourself out there, and all staff would be invited. I thank you all for putting it out there and for promoting it so well. We had rooms that were reserved and conference areas, and a lot of people tried to join, and we set this up so quickly, and I take a full measure of responsibility for this, that we did not consider the fact that Zoom has an attendance limitation and likely hundreds and hundreds more people were trying to join. It was a mistake of quick planning. And I personally, again, to all of you, apologize for that, because I know that it caused some consternation amongst staff and you, likely in terms of trying to get in, because we asked you to promote this. So we did get a lot of positive feedback for those who could join and a lot of understanding from those who couldn't. I think that overall the intent was good. We were able to put something together very quickly. And the good news is that this Wednesday, we will likely have the opportunity again to have a staff forum that is facilitated by IT to where it is set up to be able to handle many, many more people, and to where we will have more people in attendance, like Joel Molina and several others, who will be able to field an even wider array of questions. I'm not involved with the setup of this. I don't have all the details yet. Again, it's still being put together relatively quickly, but in this time involving enough people that we're very confident that it will function correctly and be able to handle as much traffic as hopefully we have or as want to join. As soon as I have the specific details from those who are planning and setting it up, I will get it out to you. I don't have those specific details yet, other than to say that right now it is planned for next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 12 to 1. So hopefully we'll be able to communicate this just as widely and have robust participation, but I'm on standby with regards to all the planning details. I know as much as I've just told you. So with that, also the only other thing I needed to mention on it is we would like to see if we can pre-populate it with some questions. So if you have those questions that we can kind of kick things off, or if we need to get out there during question lull periods, type them up and send them to Hey, and she'll collect them and forward them on to whomever is. I think I'm giving the introduction again, but there'll be other people helping field questions and stuff. Hey, we'll probably be involved again as well, but for now we'll collect them. So with that, right now I am happy to take questions. I see Brian has his hand up, so I'm going to go with that first. Brian, if you have a question, you can unmute yourself and ask it, and then you'll have to click the hand function again to put it down. But what's your question?
No question. Actually, I forgot my hand was up. Sorry.
Okay, so if anybody has a question, just type it into the chat thing, and type in that you want to be recognized, and I'll just recognize you. That's going to be the easiest way. If there are any questions on the last staff forum or the upcoming one. Anyone? I'll just give it, okay.
So now I raised my hand.
Hold on just 1 second. All right, go ahead, Brian, and then Jessica has a question. Go ahead.
So I just want to say I captured that closed captioning and then kind of edited a little bit and wrote out the questions and the answers and shared it with my staff, which they really appreciated. And it was very helpful. I think that it helped ease tensions a little bit. I thought it was very positive, and the response I got from my staff and people in the community that read those thought it was very positive. I tried to share it with people in my area, mainly because I knew that not only 300 could attend. So I thought it was really cool, and I did send Mary O a thank you for that, because I thought, and I told her the response I get was very good. So it's a shame it got capped out, and I don't think that was foreseeable, but I thought it was a good event, and I'd like to look at the positive from it. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Brian. Jessica? Oh, you typed your question. Sorry. So Jessica asked, will it be advertised widely? I don't have access to my spreadsheet of constituent emails. I don't, the communications plan is again out of my hands right now. But I am very sure that there'll probably be at least an all staff email. Central communications will be involved in this. You know, so you'll probably see some social media. I will ask the EA members to put it out there once I have the solid informative details. Okay. And Gina is responding that yes, an all staff email plus faculty and staff news on Wednesday. So, so yes. Hey, and then Carrie. So, hey, go ahead.
Hi everyone. So I also apologize for us not being able to foresee the 300 person cap. I do want to know, for those that were able to attend or were able to communicate with anybody that was able to attend, were there any things that weren't mentioned by Mary that people wanted addressed, or was there any feedback that we can kind of take into the next COVID forum to kind of improve it? So I just kind of want to get a sense of what the feedback was from your perspective, if you guys had conversations about it. Obviously, I know it was really frustrating to not be able to log in, so I apologize about that. But if there's any constructive feedback or any sort of things that we can take moving forward to improve the next one, I would really greatly appreciate that. You don't have to tell me now. You can also email me, but I would like to get that perspective as well.
So, if it's all right with you, hey, if everybody can just kind of email her with that feedback, are you okay with that, hey?
Yeah, that works for me. I just want to make improvements for the next forum. So whatever feedback that you have, I would greatly appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think whatever, you know, we aspire to be better on this. So whatever feedback we can get, email hey, and myself if you'd like. Carrie, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say another option in addition to the email. I know it's definitely going out in the faculty and staff on Wednesday, but as soon as we get details, we can always post as a Facebook event as well. So that's another option for people to be able to share, but everybody should be able to get it.
Great. Thanks, Carrie. Yeah, I figured you probably had even more of the inside track on what's planned for the communicating it than we do. So, excellent. Any other, if I am kind of going slow, it's because I'm constantly scanning for hands up and comments. Anything else on this? And again, you'll get more information as we get it. And yeah, hey, and myself, you can email us with other questions, either pre-populated questions or feedback or comments at any time, really. And I want to say one other thing. I said this in the email I sent out last week, and it is still an open-ended thing. If you have people who have complaints, I'm happy to answer them. I had some very good exchanges, actually incredibly good exchanges, with people who I was able to one-on-one communicate with who had a problem with the last forum, and they really appreciated that. So I'm happy to continue to do that. Feel free to email me complaints or problems with the last forum anytime. Hey, do you have another?
Sorry, one more thing. So it looks like the Office of Assembly shared the link to the closed caption transcripts. Brian, you said that you made some edits. Would you be willing to share that? I think that'd be, I don't know how much you edited it, but I'd like to kind of see it and share it with other people as well.
Sure. Actually, I was just getting ready to send it to Sue because she asked for a copy. But I, if I can find it, I'll send it to everybody. If you want it, put your NetID and send me your NetID, and I'll just send it that way.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. If everybody's all right with it, let's move on. And again, you can follow up with me anytime on the forum issue. So I don't know if Jessica Withers is with us or not. She had mentioned that she may not be able to join, but we have the very important issue of elections postponement. So is there somebody who's willing to or able to present on that?
Yes, I can. Can everybody hear me? This is Ashley Miller.
Hey, Ashley. Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
So Jessica just wanted me to share with everybody that we are working on a resolution to postpone the elections. And I know Gina was working on that documentation, but I never got an update on it. But Jessica just wanted to let everybody know that we are in the process of working on that.
And just to add, this is happening kind of across the board from what I understand in terms of the assemblies. So it's not logistically, I agree, it may not be logistically or even, just logistically feasible right now, especially when everybody's attention is on so many other things. Questions for Ashley?
And I forgot one more thing. Jessica also wanted me to add that the seats that were supposed to be expiring will be extended until those elections happen.
So is that Wendy? Are you asking to speak?
Yes, that's Wendy. Yep, I just really quick back to the transcripts from last Wednesday. There's four different versions of it on the website. There's unformatted and formatted. The ones that are unformatted have timestamps and misspelled, typos and everything. I went through and formatted all of that. So if you want to share that formatted document, I don't know what other edits Brian might have made to his, but that formatted document is very accurate. I went back through and made sure like everything was correctly matched up with the video, that sort of stuff. So that's what I worked on Thursday. So like I said, the formatted version, the PDF, or even the text version should be something that you guys should be able to share with anyone who's interested.
Great. Thanks, Wendy. Yep. Much less of me sounding confused and stuttering probably. Any other questions on the elections? With the understanding that there's more information coming in the form of a resolution. Thanks to Ashley. Oh, that's Jessica actually is typing. Thanks to Ashley. If anyone has any questions or concerns about the elections, let me know or let us know. So you can also email Jessica if you have follow-up questions. She's working hard on this. So it's something that we'll get information on soon. Chris Barth, he mentioned that the UA intends on keeping the current chairs in place through August as of the last meeting on 3/17/20. UA is primarily going to focus on the code of conduct revision for the rest of the term. So that's one update of what the university assembly is doing. I believe the student assembly has postponed until the fall all of their elections. I don't know the exact date. I don't know if the faculty or the GPSA have put anything out about it, but I believe that they're both groups are considering doing the same. So we'll make sure everybody's informed. It's an evolving situation. Oh, the trustee, the community or campus elected trustee debate and election has been postponed until I believe the fall. Jeremy, that's correct?
The last I heard was it was postponed, ETA to be determined.
ETA to be determined, okay. So it's pretty much standard. Sorry, let me scan to make sure nobody's hands are up. Okay, so any other questions or concerns about this, you can email Jessica. We'll get good information out as soon as we have it. And we'll just keep moving forward. So with that, let's move on to Kate, the the 2020 census stakeholder group presentation. Kate, are you with? Oh, there you are. Hi, Kate. The floor is yours.
The floor is mine. Okay, so of course the census is one of many aspects of life that's been thrown into a bit of disarray. I hope all of you have received your invitation at home to participate in the census. You can go online at 2020census.gov and click on a button. We're still a little bit up in the air about what we're doing. I love the reflection of the screen in my glasses. That's creepy. What we're doing about students. I've revised our communications and outreach plan and sent it up the food chain for approval. But basically, we're going to change for students who live on campus. We're trying to sort out how we can respond on their behalf. The initial plan was that they were going to do paper forms individually when they got back, which would then be returned to the census. That, of course, is not how it works. So with student and campus life and housing and, housing is student and campus life and the census, we're sorting out how we can respond on their behalf collectively while not violating FERPA, which is tricky. We've begun our outreach to off-campus students. There was an announcement last week in the off-campus living newsletter. And again, there are other steps outlined in the communications plan, because should anyone ask you, students, even though they have gone home, the census is asking them to respond with their school-based address, because you all probably know and understand already this huge impact of students in our community. We have a little over 100,000 people in Tompkins County. 24,000 of those are Cornell students. So it's 23% approximately of the overall population in the county are Cornell students. You add in the Ithaca College students and the TC3 students, you're over a third of the population are college students. And it's important to our community that they be counted, because that determines our population count and therefore our funding for many critical state and federal programs for the next 10 years. So this is, of course, a terrible time for many things, including the census, but the census is happening now. So we have to figure out, we're still in process of figuring out how to get our students to respond and be counted here so that we don't see massive funding cuts that would not be good for the community as a whole, but also, the reason we get funding for the students is because they also use the services that come from our total numbers. So basically my word is, if anyone asks you, tell them students get counted here. You can go, if they live off campus, they at this point have to respond directly. If they live on campus and have university housing contracts, we are figuring out how to respond through the group quarters electronic response option. If anyone has questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Questions for Kate. If you can do the raise your hand, do it. Or if not, you can ask a question in chat. All right.
It must have been a really, really stellar explanation if nobody has questions. So
I thought it was.
Yeah. In the future, I had a whole PowerPoint thing, but I decided we didn't need that. Basically, just fill out your census. It's important whether you're a student or a resident.
We have a question. Hey.
It's me again. A question. It's probably available, but when is it due? Do you have anything you want us to share with others? Do you have a pamphlet that you want us to email around? What can we do to help you?
Thank you. I am trying to get authorization. I'm trying to get a communications plan approved. So far, the only things I've been allowed to do was put something in the off-campus newsletter. There's also a hard-to-find question on the COVID-19 website for Cornell under housing and student life or housing issues. So as soon as I have the authority to send things around, we should have social cards that can go out in social media. I have sample emails that can go out to different constituency groups and contacts for those groups. But there's been some concern on the administration side over the timing of the communication. So I just continue advocating that we get the information out there. So I'll hope to get a communications plan approved this week so that we can start to share share things that folks can push out through through their units, whether it's the graduate school or international scholars or the I know the student assemblies are ready to send some things, but I just have to wait till somebody tells me it's okay to send them. So in the meantime, if people do ask you, put it out there. I think the Sun is also doing an article on the census, so that should help to give a little bit of information to our campus and off-campus community. Thanks, Hey Hey.
Awesome. Thank you, Kate. Okay, so by the way, this looks like just the best episode of the Brady Bunch ever, with everybody live and kind of doing their thing. It's awesome. Okay, that aside, let's move into committee reports. Executive committee, hey, you want to go ahead?
Hi, everyone. So what an interesting time we find ourselves in. We are preparing for the upcoming COVID forum. I am collecting questions from all of you. I know that some of you have sent questions, so I really appreciate anybody who's helping out to try to get all of that together for us. We're still working on resources. I know things are changing so rapidly, and there are a lot of questions that people have, and I'm going to try to do my best to incorporate a lot of the feedback that I've gotten to improve the COVID forum moving forward. So any input that you guys have, feel free to share with me, and I will try to ensure all of the questions are going to be as relevant as possible, knowing that things change on a daily basis. So just working through that and the resources that we had talked about in the past. The upcoming meeting in April, next week, is going to be with a class. And then April 15th, we're going to have a presentation by the accreditation committee. As of now, this is what we have scheduled. I don't know if anything will change before that. I'm still waiting to hear back from North Campus Expansion to see if they're they would like to meet and discuss that. If there are any other presenters you would like, then feel free to get in touch and let me know. But so far we've got CLASP and the accreditation committee coming up, but it's subject to change as well. We're not really sure what'll happen in the upcoming weeks, but that is your update.
Questions for Hey Hey? Okay, seeing none, let's move on to Carrie, Communications and Awards.
Hello, everyone. I was on vacation last week, I picked a pretty good week to do it, I would say. Or maybe not, as my colleagues would say. But I don't have a whole lot to report. We sort of paused on a bunch of stuff, mainly because I was caught up with the COVID communications. I have started already retooling what would be like for the third time our EA newsletter, and we'll have to talk about that in exec and see, in light of separate staff messaging about the forum, maybe, you know, as a follow-up, what makes sense to send out, being careful not to come off as tone deaf, obviously, and focusing on all the wrong things. So we really need to take a closer look at that content again. We do have a meeting coming up on Wednesday, and hopefully can push a few of our items forward that have been stalled out before all the COVID stuff started really going bananas. I had been spending a lot of my time on the inclement weather working group edits and things like that. So that's a topic for discussion at some point. That's all I have at the moment.
Questions for Carrie? All right, let's Gina pointed out, Carrie, that the your committee meeting this week is scheduled for the same time as the forum. Do you think you'd be able to?
Oh, good point. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe reschedule or something like that. Everything.
Yeah, I'll find a better time.
Okay. Well, let's move.
Discuss what's happening with mainly what our main emphasis was the bereavement policy and where we can go with that. If I'm missing anything, the rest of the group can share with you. I did send out my notes. Anybody's welcome to them if they want them. But yeah, that's about it with with our committee.
All right. Any questions for Brian?
I have a question.
Yes.
Brian, one of the things that happened when we did the emergency planning years and years ago, it was understood that somebody from International Services would be considered an essential employee for the purpose of receiving U.S. government mail. And I've spent the last, I think, 48 hours trying to convince people that that is the case. So one of the things for the future I'd like to see is for an institutional maybe it exists and maybe I just am not aware of it, but a clear list of the activities that still need to happen in the event of a shutdown, the things that still need to move forward. I think there is a list of, I'm sure there's a list, but maybe not everybody's on it. So just to try to get some clear understanding of that, or not everybody that needs to be is on it.
So I recall that question coming up to Mary O once, and she was clear to say that we have essential. We don't have it's no one person is essential. A position is essential. So I remember that during her forum, that we don't have essential employees. We have essential functions, and so that coming to role. And then of course I was wondering what that entailed too, and then when the governor did the pause and said only essential employees. I said, well, I wonder who that includes. I went to his list and the essential list is a mile long. And pretty much I looked at that. I was dumbfounded how big and how many people that would incorporate depending on what job functions they do. So I do agree that should be looked at, or at least if there is a list out there, I'd like to see it because I'm not sure what it entails as well. But there are many descriptions of what essential is. I think that conversation also came up when they were talking about the inclement weather. And I'm not sure if they've included that in the draft yet or not, but I thought that came up. It's maybe somebody else can help with that.
Thank you.
Other questions? If there are none, okay, sorry. If there are none, let's move on. I mean, we kind of already went over the elections committee, but if anybody from the elections committee has anything else that they want to convey, feel free. If not, we can move on. Oh, good call. Jessica's chatting. Yeah, I did want to point out President Pollack did actually, in the midst of all this, officially accept our resolution that added a Cornell Tech representative to the EA. So as some of you may not be, that's the last step. Since it's a charter change, it has to be accepted by the president before it's official. So going forward, whenever we go forward, the EA will have officially a Cornell Tech representative. So I'm really excited about that. Congratulations to Jessica Withers and the Elections Committee. Congratulations to Cornell Tech. And thank you, everyone, for all that hard work, because that is a big accomplishment for this year, to extend shared governance in that way to our colleagues at Cornell Tech. So I'm really excited about it. If there's nothing else, I want to move in. Oh, sorry, Andrea, I saw your hands up. Go ahead.
One thing that with the pushing our elections now to a later date, it makes sort of raises the point that maybe we have time to discuss our at-large seats. I know we didn't have time given our condensed schedule before, but I just, it's one of those things that's a great concern is the loss of the folks who are in at-large seat. So maybe we can at least consider that for whatever time that we put the elections to, just putting it out there.
I would say I agree that there are other things with the way we're set up in terms of our seats that we may definitely now have time to discuss, even if it's over the summer, because the terms aren't staggered correctly. We should have half of the assembly running in any given year, and right now it's like 2/3. There have been conversations about the seats not necessarily representing everything as they should. So of course that is to I would bring that up to Jessica and the elections committee. I think that they I would put it to them or anybody else who wants to work through that committee on these issues. But yeah, there's a there's time and there's issues that are being jumbled around and sidelined. So I totally think that those are discussions worth having. Thank you, Andrea, I appreciate it. Anyone else real quick before we move into some brief open discussion? So seeing none, I just want to move into some open discussion on this situation that we find ourselves in. I understand that we are all handling it as best we can. Our work and our lives are evolving towards remote operations, but you know, Cornell being the enormous community that it is with a huge number of constituents, I really think that this is an important opportunity for us as the EA to not only continue our work, but also see where we fit in terms of providing support, be it moral or whatever, in terms of conveying information to staff, in terms of asking important questions about the status of our staff members with regards to, you know, their roles, their pay, their benefits, anything. There are some projections that extend this crisis out well beyond a few weeks. I'm sure that the administration is working very hard on all manner of contingencies, but we fulfill a role of being a very important communications channel directly from the staff to the administration. It's to everybody's benefit that we continue that and also advocating for staff. In my opinion, there are some things that I want to see done, be it just show displays of general support, whether that comes in the form of a resolution or something else, I don't know. But I would like to convey, and this issue crosses over employee welfare, policy and benefits, even you could say education, whatever. So I would like to put it out there that anybody who is interested in working on, say, a resolution supporting our staff during this difficult time, I would like to convene those, you know, kind of like with the inclement weather, get those people together and see if we can't work on something. Tony, if you're raising your hand, I see you. I'll put you in the queue here. So there's that. I've thought about maybe we could, you know, write some things out it for maybe the Sun. I've thought about writing something in the Sun, just in general remarks of support. But of course I want to coordinate with communications. But I think we should see where we can step up to show some stewardship and leadership and support for others during this time. The other thing I wanted to mention, I see other people raising their hands. I see you, Christy. I'll wrap it up here, my comments. I want to just acknowledge the fact that although we are all remote, we have the ability to support one another as well. I don't want to take for granted the fact that some of you are enduring some very difficult times and may endure some in the future. So as EA members, please know that, I mean, it may be a digital door or a telephone call, but I am always available to all of you for any reason, call day or night, communicate with me day or night. Let's support one another because I think that there is more difficulty ahead than there is behind us. And I want you to know that I am here no matter what for all of you in any way, shape, or form. So that was another very important point. Let's go to Tony and then Christy. So Tony, you first.
Yeah, just to follow up on that communication with the concerns for the custodial staff. Effective today, we are staffing at a minimum. So all of our staff have been advised that they only come to work when they are contacted and scheduled to come in. So for example, today I have 9 staff out of 30 in. The rest will be told when to come in. And we're going to rotate on, and this is campus-wide, we're going to rotate on a 2-day basis. So people being scheduled Monday and Tuesday will not be scheduled in again into their cycle. On days that they are not scheduling, they will receive full pay without using any accruals. So the people that I advise not to come to work today will be paid today without having to use any of their personal time. So we're really trying to figure out what the minimum is. Right now I have 9 people in, not knowing coming in today how many students were left. Well, we have 366 students still on the West Campus, and there's over 1,300, I think, university-wide. So as the week goes on, we expect that to reduce, and then we'll figure out where the students are, what we need to do for basic support, and then we'll staff accordingly. But we are, I know there was a lot of concern, we're keeping it to a very minimum, and we're rotating people 2 days in, and they might not come in for like another 5 days because of the way it will cycle. But everybody is going to be paid for time that they're not scheduled to work. So I thought that was a pretty great thing that the university came up with.
And just to piggyback on that before we move to Christy, some representatives from the GPSA, just so all of you know, have reached out to me, and then I brought in Tony about they wanted to do a letter or a resolution through the GPSA commending and showing support for especially janitorial staff, custodial staff. That's a very nice thing. People are thinking about the staff, not just other employees. So Tony, I hope that you'll stay in communication with our friends over the GPSA and work with them because I think that you're the best person to give that information out to them so that they can write a good resolution and we'll definitely acknowledge it in the EA and thank them. Christy, go ahead.
Thank you. I guess what I wanted to offer is I left the session last week tremendously impressed by how Mary Opperman not only behaved, but how she was willing to be out there for us and field questions from the population, the employee population at large, but also how she looked. And it is clear that she has been working tirelessly in support of staff right now. I left the wellness meeting, the wellness committee meeting that we just had this morning, tremendously impressed by the resources that have been pulled together in a week's time in support of the staff. And I feel that if we're going to do a resolution, you know, acknowledging the advocacy that Mary has led in terms of the HR's response to staff might be a really impactful resolution to advance at this time.
I Chrissy, I think that's a wonderful idea, and I totally agree with that sentiment. The university, and especially HR, has acted decisively and in the very best interests of staff health, well-being, and welfare. You know, even if we do something else in general for staff, would you and your committee be willing to put together a resolution commending HR? Because I think that's a absolutely great idea, and it's very much appropriate considering the efforts that they've gone to.
I'll certainly reach out to the group and follow up to our discussion and see if they wouldn't support that. I sent her a private note. Like, I feel so thankful for how hard she's working in support of all staff at Cornell. And I just think it would be something that would mean a lot to her, and kind of continue her on in the work that she's doing to keep us all kind of in the mind of the leadership as they're considering, you know, other mission critical elements that they've got the staff in mind too.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Thank you for bringing that up. Anyone else? And again, you know, we don't have to come up with all the solutions, all of the ideas now. I plan on still sending out regular communications to all of you in email form. And I think I got sidetracked obviously last week, but we can consider these things outside of these regular meetings. Everybody's committee could play a role. We could have, you know, I've thought about things like through communications to where we could, and there's one group that's already doing this, work from home group, or not work from home, working at Cornell Facebook page, but, you know, where we tell some staff stories about what they're doing to keep things going, or how their experience has been. Anything, really, no idea is a bad idea right now, but we don't have to have them all right now either. So beyond this is open discussion. So if anyone has anything that they would like to bring up, sort of good for the good of the order. Brian, I see your hands up. Go ahead.
So I thought it was interesting. I heard, I don't know how accurate this is, but it was in the news, and you know, talking about feel-good stories. So everybody knows that there's a need for medical supplies, and there's a need for masks, and there's a need for different things. I hear that Cornell had an abundance of some of the N95 masks, and they dropped them off at the hospital. I heard that through the grapevine. Those little good things like that, I think, like you were saying, should be maybe mentioned on sites like that or whatever. There's a lot of good things happening out there. And I know that we have some staff that are saying, hey, I'll do whatever it takes. And we have other staff that are scared to come in. And I see that every day, especially with my staff. I have some say, you know what, I'm not worried. I'm more worried about the people that are underlying conditions or the elderly. I remember one staff tell me that they didn't think another staff member should be there, and can we have them go home? So there's a lot of good out there as well, and I think that we should populate pages with some of the good stuff that's happening. Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks, Brian. A couple of you have raised your hand. I just want to mention also, I do love the fact that in group chat, you all are sharing links and resources. So I encourage everybody who can to, if you have things that go along with this, but you don't necessarily want to speak, feel free to use the chat for that. It's getting a lot of good stuff out there that everybody can use. Marcy and then Kate. So Marcy, go ahead.
Yep, it looks like Jeremy just shared this, but yeah, the Vet College, Dr. Meg Thompson, my supervisor, donated a bunch of masks and ventilators and that, you know, the Cuba Medical can use, and they're still trying to find other equipment that they can share and use as well, as much as they can, and still have the hospital operating as well. So yeah, a lot of nice, good stories.
Thank you. Yes, that is a good story. Kate? Did you have your hand up? You're still on mute, I think. Yeah, there you go.
Technical challenge with my mute. So thank you, Jeremy, for being
reading that story from the Ithaca Voice on there. I know that the Chronicle has also been doing some research and getting ready to write a piece about Cornell's response to the community, but I think it was something like 1,500, 1,000 maybe masks from the vet school and 500 from other labs in addition to other equipment. And I believe that the central collecting point, I can best look at the article that Jeremy gave us, is Frank Cantone. If folks know of a unit on campus that is interested in donating, it goes through Frank Cantone at Cornell. Thanks.
Excellent. Anyone else? I see Alan mentioned that maybe Rigel can comment. Rigel, do you know of EH&S working with labs to collect supplies for, I'm assuming, medical supplies, things like that?
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out my mic here.
You're fine.
A group of us are trying to get supplies together to donate. I know that my supervisor took a bunch of our gloves that we use for radiation work and donated them to the higher ups in our department. So it's definitely a motion that they're trying to work through right now.
Thanks, Rigel. Craig.
Yes, I wanted to let you also know the Vice Provost of Research, Emmanuel Gianellis, is working with labs across campus in identifying the same type of resources that may be available for local hospitals. That process has not been completely coordinated yet, but it is in discussion, ranging from everything from 3D printing capabilities to work on ventilator components to the typical pieces with the N95 mask and gloves. So hopefully we will see a coordinated type of response so that individual units are not having to do this on their own, but it would be at the university level.
Great. Thanks, Craig. And it looks like Jeremy mentioned everybody that we also have staff packaging meals for the community, which is awesome. So see, it sounds like there's a lot. Oh, I see Jessica has her hands up. Jessica, go ahead. Jessica Townley.
I was just going to comment too. Here in Geneva, we did the same thing. We did the Tyvek suits, the gloves and the masks, and we brought them to our local hospital. And then we've also been working with, the distilleries in the area, and they're all producing, hand sanitizer, and we're also having them as a drop-off place here and then delivering them to the hospital. So there's that. And then also I'm on Cornell Elves, and we have money in Cornell Elves, so we reached out to all the local schools and provided them some funding to also help with doing lunches for the kids. So I just wanted to tell everybody that.
Great. Thank you, Jessica. Any other comments, questions, or topics for the group?
This is Jamie. I was just thinking that given that a lot of people are out of their normal working regimes and some people maybe don't have a full schedule, it seems like a really good time for the university to encourage people to either go through the LinkedIn Learning and do, you know, self-training kind of things, or take advantage of the fact that there is this time for some workers to, you know, brush up on professional development. And I wonder if there's a good way for us to encourage that message to get out.
And Robert, I see you, your hands up. Carrie, to piggyback off that, I know that in terms of people having access to posting on this on social media, is, you know, we should probably keep that group tight just because we don't want too many cooks in the kitchen. But is it possible that we could just set up a folder inbox or something to where you where we could check regularly if our members have stories, resources, or things that we could post that you and I may not personally be aware of, some way to collect all these things and get them out there via Facebook. I mean, that's our main continuous channel. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy has sent me stuff that I've posted on Facebook. Anybody can send me any link or tidbit, photo, whatever is easiest. You could post it on Box as well. I can create a folder.
Well, the only reason I said the Box part was I just didn't know how inundated with emails you were getting. If you're okay with the members sending you stuff, Harriet's communication, our communications, you know, vice chair. So if you have stuff that, and she's also obviously putting together the newsletters. So if you have these items, stories, resources, Carrie's a great place to send it. And also, obviously, all of us, you can send them to me and I can send them to all of our members in my regular communications. And we can encourage our members to just get them out to their constituents through whatever channels they have. That is another way we operate with communicating things. So I would say send stuff to myself and Carrie, and I can distribute to all the members regularly, or Carrie can put stuff on her, the channels that she manages, and we can do things that way. And if you have creative ideas that we can do other than what we regularly do, obviously share those too, see if we can do some other things. Robert?
I just wanted to ask, in terms of, I know that that all this started to happen, that the divestment discussion was going on. I'm just curious, in terms of, did any of the meetings with the student assembly or any of that happen? Or, yeah,
I'll just check in on that. I'm glad you brought that up. All five of the constituent assemblies have passed the divestment resolution. The students and the faculty were the last two assemblies to do it. They did it before, really, you know, before and somewhat during all this was happening. As I understand it, because of the emergent nature of the COVID-19 virus, the president is just waiting. The board's operations themselves have been dramatically reduced and they just had a remote meeting. So this didn't make the agenda, as I understand it. I wasn't able to attend simply because there's a lot of emergency things that are being dealt with. It's not going to fall off the table. Jeremy, if you're still with us, can you confirm that the divestment discussion it's not gone, it's just tabled for the time being because we're dealing with a pandemic?
This month's, quarter's trustee meeting was very abbreviated due to the constraints of our current quarantine. So not a whole lot that wasn't absolutely critical for this moment in time, particularly surrounding the COVID-19 outbreak, was addressed.
Which totally makes sense. As an author of two of those resolutions, or a sponsor of two of those resolutions, I totally agree with that. You know, we have to deal with the emergency in front of us first, and then I trust that the board will not let those other important discussions fall off. It's just a global pandemic, you know, how those things go. So any other, I'm sorry, people are typing. Jeremy just saying it is a good time to balance the negative news, which we need to stay aware of, with the hope and positive actions occurring within our community. It keeps spirits up and inspires collaboration and goodwill. By the way, the reason I'm reading comments that everybody can see is because we have people joining us on the phone, just FYI. Carrie, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, on the subject of balancing the negative with the positive, if any of you from your respective units have stories like staff packaging meals for the community or donating equipment, I would pass those along, and you can do so directly, or you could pass them to me and I'll be happy to, but I would recommend passing those along to the Chronicle, because they're looking for positive stories to tell, and for us to be able to share it, it's a lot easier and helpful if there's something published that we can refer to rather than posting sort of unofficial content. So anyway, if you have ideas for stories or you've heard of something great that's been happening, some effort bubbling up in your units, I would pitch those to the Chronicle, and they may not do anything with it, but they may take you up on it, interview you, or ask for more details.
Thanks, Carrie. Kate? You're muted.
I'm unmuted. So following up on Carrie's remark on the Cornell Chronicle homepage, under the essentials, there's a call from the Vice Provost Wendy Wolford to have people share stories. And there's a link you can click to type in anything from 10 to 200 words describing Cornell. Let me see what it says here. Seeking stories of connection in the time of coronavirus. So a global call for stories of caring and compassion. Certainly that can be our local community, but beyond that as well. So that's there's a link right there to submit them. Thanks.
Thanks, Kate. Carrie, is your hand still up or? Oh, okay. Yeah. I think if just FYI for everybody, if you don't click it, your hand stays up. Does anybody else have anything? If not, I just would close by saying, I hope you all are staying well, staying upbeat and positive, and that your friends and family are safe and healthy. It's really a bummer that weighs on my mind that I don't get to see you in person for the foreseeable future. And, you know, if you have anything you need from me, please reach out anytime. I wish nothing but the best for all of you and all of staff throughout this. With that, we'll stay in contact. We're still going to work. Reach out to me anytime. And I will call for a motion to adjourn. And you can just type it in. Just want it on the record. Anybody feel free. All right. Oh, we have a second. We have a couple seconds, so that's good enough. All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Be safe. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.